Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, that whole body shall be full of light. And that just means that if you're looking to Christ alone for all your righteousness and all of your salvation, all of your satisfaction, and in Christ, you'll have the fullness of the light of truth. Thy light, if thy eye be single. Now, if your eye be evil, it would be divided. That's what religion's all about. Man-made religion is very convoluted. It's Christ plus something else, isn't it? And what we're just saying is that Christ is everything. If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, if you look into Christ plus yourself, plus the law, plus your will, plus something else, anything else, then thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? In other words, if you think you can see when you can't, the blindest person in the world is the person who thinks he can see when he can't. The Lord told the Pharisees, they asked, are you saying we're blind? The Lord said, if you were, then your sins will be forgiven. But the fact that you can see means that your sins remain. Lord, I need for you to open the eyes of my understanding. I need for you to give me the grace to give a single eye to Christ. Look to Him and Him alone for all my salvation. Lord, would you do that? Would you do that? Let's stand together. Tom's going to come and lead us in the hymn on the back of your bulletin. Thy free and sovereign grace. It's unfortunate that we have to add those adjectives to a word that already means free and sovereign. But we do, because the word grace is so loosely used in the world today that we have to say, oh no, we're not talking about your kind of grace. We're talking about free grace. We're talking about grace that didn't cost us anything. That's a redundancy, but it's free. And we're talking about a grace that's from God. It's sovereign. He has mercy on whom He will have mercy, on whom He will He hardeneth. It's up to Him as to who gets grace and who doesn't get grace. Our hope and prayer is that we would be found in His sight of having grace. Lord, you still have your Bibles open to Matthew chapter 6. Verse 24, no man can serve two masters. A single eye. Don't look anywhere other than Christ for all your salvation. You can't serve two masters. You can't have it both ways. For either he will hate the one and love the other, else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't have your hope and your security. You know, the world puts all their security in material wealth. You can't have your security there and in Christ at the same time. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? In another place the Lord tells us to labor not for that meat which perisheth, but labor rather for the meat which leadeth to everlasting life. For my body is your meat indeed. Our labor is to enter into His rest, isn't it? It's to find our rest in Christ. Behold the fowls of the air. Just look. Look what God does for the birds of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Oh, how absurd it would be to think that God has more concern for the birds of the air than for His own children. Which of you, taking thought, can add one cubit unto its stature? Be careful for nothing. Isn't that what we read? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither did they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Just observe the beauty of a flower and see how God's fashioned it and put it together. Is He not able to clothe thee? Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? I'm so glad the Lord said little faith. In another place He said, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can say unto this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. Our faith has everything to do with its object. Its object. And if the object of our faith is the Lord Jesus Christ, then it only takes a little faith to save. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or whither shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek. This is what the world seeks after. You're not of this world. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. That's what the world's seeking after. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow. Oh, we fret over the possibilities of tomorrow, most of which never come to pass. We regret over the experiences of yesterday. Paul said, I forget those things which are behind. What we do is we paralyze ourselves in the only moment of life that we have, which is right now, because we're living in the past and in the future. Isn't that what we do? Take no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought of itself, things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You got plenty on your plate right now. Right now. And right now, as we gather for worship, is the time when we need God's presence and God's grace and God's power most of all in our lives. Right now. May God give us the grace to put aside all those things that would distract us and worship Him in the power of His Spirit and according to the truth of His gospel. Right now. Let's pray together. Our merciful Heavenly Father, we are comforted in knowing that You remember that we're made of dust. You remember our frail frame. And You have pity upon us even when we are of little faith. We ask, Father, that You would send Your Holy Spirit and power to increase our faith and cause us to find our hope in Christ and in Christ alone. We pray for our friends and for our loved ones and for our children who have yet to receive the gift of faith. And we ask, Lord, that You'd be pleased to give it. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Let's stand together once again. We'll sing hymn number 168 from the the hardback hymnal, number 168, Even Me.
Are you amazed at the thought that God might be pleased to bless you? Are you amazed at that? That's what we just sang. Even me? The religious world's not amazed at that. The religious world sees a God who is anxiously waiting for man to let him bless them. That's the view that most people have of God. And so they're not at least bit surprised that God would be pleased to bless them. God wants to bless me. He's just waiting for me to let him have his way. That's not what we just sang, and that's not what we believe. God, would you be pleased to bless me? Of all people, would you open the windows of heaven and be pleased to bless me? I'd be amazed if you would do that. Of everybody I know, I'm the most unworthy person of your blessing. You believe that about yourself? Will you open your Bibles with me to John chapter 1? Our Lord asked the disciples of John the Baptist a question that I hope the Holy Spirit will put in your heart and in my heart and never let it depart from us. That we will hear the voice of God often asking us this question. Verse 35 of John chapter 1. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, John said, Behold the Lamb of God. There he is. The Lord had revealed to John that this Jesus of Nazareth was none other than the long-awaited Messiah, the Christ, the Lamb of God, which should take away the sins of the world. And the disciples of John believed what John said. For John wasn't just saying, look at him. John was saying, follow him. In another one of the Gospels, we read where John says, I must decrease, he must increase. Follow after him, not me. And so these disciples followed the Lord. And verse 38, then Jesus turned and saw them following and said unto them, What seek ye? What seek ye? What seek ye? Most people are like the guy that spent his whole life looking for loose change that somebody had dropped. And they come to the end of their life and they pride themselves on how much they found. Problem is, all they can do is describe the refuse of the gutters and the spacing in the cracks of the sidewalks. For this guy in his whole life never saw the beauty of a sunrise or a sunset. He never was awed by the wonders of the stars or the endless formation of the clouds. He never saw an eagle in flight. The light of the full moon was only used to get a better look at the ground. He was looking in the wrong place, seeking after the wrong thing. What seek ye? A fleeting moment of happiness? An unsatisfying feeling of pleasure, success as the world defines it, possession of a new toy, popularity of people that are just as lost and unfulfilled as you are. What seek ye? The affection of a person that you think will fulfill all your desires, only to be left disappointed when you finally realize that they are on the same futile and fruitless journey that you're on, seeking all the wrong things. Perhaps you're saying, I'm just trying to survive another day. The masses of humanity are going through life picking up loose change, while all along the windows of heaven have been opened by God for those who are able to receive the blessings that He pours out from heaven. Our Lord asked these disciples of John, what seek ye? And I ask you, and I pray the Spirit of God will make this true to your heart, not just now, but for every day of your life. What seek ye? What seek ye? What are your ambitions? What are your own hopes? What are your desires? What's the most important thing to you? Isaiah chapter 55 at verse 6 tells us whom we are to seek. For in fact, all true peace and all true happiness and all true salvation and all true righteousness come from seeking after Him. We just read in Matthew chapter 7, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Oh, that God would give us a heart to seek after Him. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6, we read, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Old blind Bartimaeus knew he had one chance to seek after Christ. He knew that the Lord was only going to pass by that way one time. And he cried, O Son of David, have mercy upon me. And he wouldn't stop crying. Why? Because God had put it in his heart to seek Christ, the blessing of God for His people. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself is the one we are to seek. He told Abraham, I am thine exceeding great reward. What is the reward that you're looking for in that which you seek after? The Lord said, I'll be your reward. I am your reward. All that you need, all that you need is to be found in me. All of your righteousness is to be found in me. That's the kingdom of God. We have no righteousness outside of Christ. Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags before God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can successfully represent us before a holy God so that we are without condemnation. All the forgiveness of our sin is not found in the depth of our sorrow or the sincerity of our faith. It's found in the accomplished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, who bore in His body all the sins of all of God's people of every generation and suffered the full wrath of God's justice to put those sins away once and for all. What seek ye? When Paul went to Athens in Acts chapter 17, he took a couple of days to walk around the city and to observe their statues. And he said that, I perceive that you are too superstitious, too religious, For I have beheld your devotions, and I have noticed that you have a statue labeled to the unknown God, the one that you ignorantly worship. You're right that you don't know him. I'm going to preach him to you. And Paul preached Christ to the people of Athens, and God raised up a church to those that he had put into the heart to seek after him. In that message that Paul preaches in Acts chapter 17, he says that you should seek the Lord, if haply you might find after him, though he not be far from any one of you. Did you hear that? Seek the Lord is what Paul told those Athenians. He told them about the Lord Jesus Christ, the one they didn't know, the one they ignorantly worshipped. And he said, seek him. He's not far from you. He's not far from you. And Paul tells us in the book of Romans, he says, he's as close to you as is your mouth. Your mouth. That's how close he is. To confess with your mouth and to believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Lord. He is the Lord. You don't make him Lord. People talk about making Jesus Christ Lord. No, he is Lord. God's made him Lord. You can't do something God's already done. And he's Lord over the living and over the dead. Paul said, oh, that I might know him. He's the one I want to seek. That I might know him. He said, I've not yet apprehended the one who has apprehended me. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. That I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. That I could believe more fully that when the Lord Jesus Christ suffered on Calvary's cross, that I was in Christ, and that God is satisfied with the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ for all my sins. That's the fellowship of the suffering. When Paul said that I want to know more about the fellowship of the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ, he wasn't saying I want to suffer more for Jesus. He'd done plenty of that. And you can be sure he's doing everything he could to avoid as much of that as he could. He said, I want to identify in my heart through faith in the sufferings that the Lord Jesus Christ experienced on Calvary's cross, because his suffering is the hope of my salvation. And I want to identify more fully in my heart the power of his resurrection. He wasn't talking about living some life where you're walking above the ground and you're just living in the power of God. He was talking about the power that God demonstrated when he raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, proving once and for all that God Almighty was satisfied with what he had accomplished. That's what I want to know. I want to know that when Christ died, I died. When he suffered, I suffered. When he was raised from the dead, I was raised from the dead. That's what baptism is. Baptism is confessing that Christ is my hope. Buried with Christ in baptism and raised to walk a new life in Christ Jesus, I'm identifying with his death, burial, and resurrection as the hope of all my salvation. It's not any more complicated than that. Our Lord asked these disciples, what seek thee? What seek thee? He asked Mary at the tomb the same question. You remember when Mary went brokenhearted to the tomb that resurrection morning, and she saw a man there that she presumed was the gardener. And he spoke to her, and he said, whom seek thee? Why seek ye the living among the dead? And she presumed him to be the gardener, and she said, "Oh, sir, if you know where they've taken his body, please tell me. I'll go get it." She was seeking Christ. And we know she was seeking Christ because as soon as he said to her, "Mary," she fell at his feet and said, "Oh, Rabboni," that is to say, "Master." And she worshipped him. She worshipped him. Why? Because he was the one she was seeking. "Whom seek ye?" Oh, don't be like the people of this world that live their whole lives looking into the gutter of the streets trying to find loose change. Look up. Look up. God's opened the windows of heaven. He has. He's poured out His blessing. When the Lord Jesus Christ left glory and came into this world and lived out a perfect righteousness on behalf of His people, when He went willingly to the cross and laid down His life for His sheep, and when God raised Him from the dead and He ascended back into glory, there He is. There He is. Set your affections on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Seek Him. And in seeking Him, you'll find everything else. Everything else. And in not seeking Him, you won't find anything. You won't find anything. Oh, if the eye is single, the whole body is full of light. But if the eye be evil, how dark is the darkness thereof? If we're looking, "Well, I got to have this and I got to have that, and I've got to pursue these things." Lord, would you be pleased? Would you be pleased to reveal yourself to me? Me? Even me? We just sang that. Even me? Of all, God, would you open the eyes of my understanding? Would you unstop my ears? Would you be pleased to put faith in my heart? Would you cause me, of all people, Lord, the least likely person and the most unworthy person of your salvation? And if your heart expresses that kind of prayer, He has revealed Himself to you. He is revealing Himself to you. Lord, reveal more to me. Seek His return. Do you seek the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, really. You just delight in the thought of it. That's what He said. He's coming for those who are watching and waiting. You see, if you've got your roots put down in this world, if all your hope, if you're trying to serve God and mammon, no man can serve two masters. If your security is in the material, temporal things of this world, then you can't get excited about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But our Lord said, "Comfort ye one another with these words." Why? Why? Because believers have their affections set on Christ, and the things of this world are not their comfort. The things of this world are not the comfort for believers. They are the conflict. They're the conflict. And their hope is knowing that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, conflict's over. The conflict is over. And they have nothing left but comfort. Nothing left but glory. If you seek Him, if He is the one you're seeking, He asked these disciples, "Whom seek ye? What seek ye?" When are we to seek Him? When are we to seek Him? Well, we've seen already from Matthew chapter 6 that we're to seek Him first. We're to seek Him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. After all these things do the Gentiles seek? Your Heavenly Father knows that you have need of them. He took care of the flowers of the field. They don't worry about what they're going to wear. The birds of the air, they don't worry about what they're going to eat. Does He not love you and care for you much more? The worldly men seek after those things. That's their passion. That's their goal. That's their delight. That's their security. It's not yours. You seek first the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of the Lord Jesus Christ as the sovereign God on His throne. And all these things will be added unto you. He'll take care of those other things. David said in Psalm 63, verse 1, O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee, my flesh longeth for Thee. In a day of a land that is dry and thirsty, where there is no water. Lord, I've tried satisfying my thirst with the things of this world. I've tried the mammon of this world. And I just end up with a mouthful of sand. You know, it doesn't quench my thirst at all. It doesn't quench my thirst at all. I've tried the pleasure of sin. There's pleasure in it for a season, but in the end it leads to death. And Lord, it's just corruption. There's no hope there. And the popularity of men, the approval of men, how vain and how... what's that? What's that? They're just like me. Fear God. Fear God and you won't fear men. Fear God. Be approved of Him. And the opinions of men won't matter. They won't matter. Oh, to seek Him first. To seek Him early. To seek Him first thing in the morning. To seek Him last thing in the evening. Oh, Lord, put it in my heart to seek Thee. Cause me, Lord, to seek You early. Cause me to seek You. Cause me to realize that You're the only one that can satisfy the thirst of my soul. You're the only one that can put away my sin. You're the only one that can make my conscience clear and make me guiltless before God. You're the only one that can give to me the peace of God in my heart. It passes human understanding, and it can't be given by this world. And seek Him continually. This isn't a one-time thing. Don't misunderstand me now. We're not talking like men in religion talk. Men in religion make this sort of appeal for people to make a decision and get saved. We're not talking like that. So that, you know, you can nail that down and then move on to better, bigger and better things. No, this seeking of the Lord is something we do continually. Listen to what the Scripture says in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 11. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. Continually. The prophet said that we're like perpetual backsliders. We seek Him and then we get distracted, don't we? We look at Him and then our gaze wanders away from Him, and we have to keep coming back. And Peter said, to whom coming? We're just always continually seeking Him. We're always being saved. Do you need to be saved right now? Right now. If you do, you'll seek Him. Because He's the only one that can do that. Don't you love the story about the woman the Lord tells about that goes before the judge and presents her case, and the judge just sort of discounts her, but she keeps coming back. And he the Lord said, because of her importunity, the judge finally listened to her and gave her what she wanted. Now, what's the root to the word importunity? Important. Important. Well, that's the question that God's asked. How important is it to you for me to make myself known in your heart? Are you going to be like this woman? You're not going to settle until the judge of the universe is pleased to answer your prayer and make himself known to you? He will. But sometimes he'll let you do that seeking for a while to prove you. To prove to yourself, how important is this? How important is this? Keep knocking. Keep asking. Keep seeking. That's really what that verse says. It's put in a past tense, but it's a continual sense, actually, in the original language. It's knock, keep knocking. Ask, keep asking. Seek, keep seeking. And if you keep knocking, the door will be open unto you. And if you keep asking, it'll be given unto you. If you keep seeking, you'll find. God has to put it into our heart. Lord, what? I'm not admonishing you to do something in the power of your flesh. I'm telling you what God has to do in your heart and what he has to do in my heart to cause us to seek him. Lord, this is, if I know anything about this life and this world, I know that what this preacher's saying is true. I know what he's saying is true. I know that there's nothing in this dry and thirsty land in which I live. I know, Lord, that you've got to open the windows of heaven and you've got to put it in my heart to seek you early, to seek you first, to seek you continually. And for you to make yourself known to me by your free and sovereign grace. Lord, that's my greatest need. Lord, would you keep asking me, whom seek ye? Would you do that for me? Would you remind me every day to ask me the question, who am I seeking? What do I really want? What do we seek? We seek peace with God. Mark the perfect man, for the end of that man is peace. Peace. Oh, that all my sin would be put away. I need to know that. Seek Christ. He's the sin bearer. He's the sacrifice. That's what John said. Behold what? The Lamb of God, he's the only one that can take away your sins. He's the one that was slain, the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Before Adam was ever created, God in the covenant of grace ordained the Lord Jesus Christ as the sacrificial Lamb for the sins of his people. And God has always seen his elect in Christ for all eternity. That's why salvation is called everlasting life. That's why it's called eternal life in the Scriptures. It's not just talking about, well, you get it now and it lasts for eternity. No. The life that God has ordained in Christ is eternal, meaning that it had no beginning and has no end. God has never seen his people outside of Christ. The only way for us to be accepted in the presence of God is to be found in him. And you don't get yourself in him. God put his people in Christ before the foundation of the world. There's my hope. And what that does is it strips me of anything that I can do. It robs me of all glory. It puts me on the ground. It puts my face in the dirt. It turns me into a mercy beggar. A sinner that's crying out to God to have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me. A gospel that believes that somehow God wants everybody to be saved and he's doing his best to get it done. It's not going to humble you. It's not going to humble you. You get involved in a religious persuasion that believes that God's like that, and all you're going to do is just go through religious rituals and traditions and feigned worship and sing some songs and memorize some verses and that's it. Worship. We are the true circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. Our joy is in His accomplished work. And we have no confidence in the flesh. All of our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my peace before God. Seek Him. Seek Him. If you find Him, you find Him in the precepts of God's Word. In the precepts of God's Word, God has revealed Himself through His Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. By His own will begat He us with the Word of truth. After you heard the gospel of your salvation, after you heard the word of truth, that's the means that God uses. So we just go to the Scriptures and ask the Lord to make Himself known to our hearts from His Word. Lord, speak to me through Your Word. Cause Your Word to be living and effectual and sharper than any two-edged sword. Cause it to divide asunder the thoughts and the intents of my heart. Lord, reveal Yourself. And as He does, He reveals us to ourselves, doesn't He? He shows us what sinners we are. And then He shows us what great Savior He is. You can't have one without the other. Two sides of the same coin. How are we to seek? How are we to seek? God says in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29, "Seek ye the Lord thy God, and thou shalt find Him if thou seek Him with all thine heart." With all thine heart. How are we going to do that? God's going to have to do a work of grace in our heart, isn't He? Lord, give me a heart, a living, beating, breathing heart. God told the Pharisees when they said, "We have Abraham as our father," and the Lord said, "God can raise up children of Abraham from those stones." And you know that's exactly what He does? That's exactly what He does. He raises up spiritual children to Abraham from stones. And He takes out the heart of stone and He puts in a heart of flesh. Faith just clings to Christ. Faith just says with Mary, "Oh, Rabboni." Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of those that do what? That diligently seek Him. Lord, give me faith to diligently seek Thee with all my heart. Why are we to seek God? We'll answer that question with one verse. Psalm 37, verse 10. "They that seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing." They that seek the Lord. That's God's promise. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? I mean, really believe. They that seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. Now, that's what God says. Faith just believes that. Lord, would You give me the faith to seek Thee with all my heart? To set my affections on Thee? To believe You that You are able You're able to take away my sin. You're able to make me righteous before God. You're able to supply all my needs in this temporal life that I'm living that's going to be over sooner than I think. And you're able to present me perfect before the throne of God, righteous and holy, faultless, with great joy. Lord, you said that if I would seek thee, that you would not hold anything good from me. And that's what I need. I need, Lord, for you to open the windows of heaven. Lord, don't let me be like the man that spends his whole life picking up loose change. Lord, open the windows of heaven. Help me to look up and to believe that seeking thee is life eternal, that I might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we are completely dependent upon your Holy Spirit to set our hearts in motion to seek thee. We're dependent upon you to haunt us daily with that question: what seek thee? Whom seek thee? Lord, would you do that? Would you cause us to hear thy voice asking us that question often, even especially as we are prone to wander into the things of this world? And cause us, Lord, to seek thee first, to seek thee early, and to seek thee continually, to seek thee in faith. For thy name's sake, we ask, Lord, that you'd bless this table. We pray that you'd take these elements of bread and wine and put into our hearts the desire and the belief that they represent the sinless sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross, the one that you have given us to seek. For we ask it in his name. Amen. All right, if the men would come, please. We're going to sing number 1 in the soft-packed hymnal, and you can remain seated. Thank you.